have to be what? Okay. Fifth reading this evening, taken from 3 John, I'll be reading verses number 9 and 10. 3 John 9 and 10. I wrote to the church that Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church.
Each and every one of you, we're always thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're certainly thankful for the song leading. We're thankful for the prayers. Certainly thankful for the scripture reading. For this month, we've been looking at 3 John, and we are going to be continuing there. If you'd like to turn your Bible over to the 3 John, and we're going to continue by looking at an individual. Last week, if you remember, we looked at Gaius, and I said, you know, hospitable Gaius. When I read down through there, we see that Gaius, we see that he was associated with standing in truth and had a good reputation, a very good reputation, and I believe he was faithful, and I believe he was hospitable to the brethren and also to strangers. And we see that unfold, really, verses 1 through 8. We see that he has this very good reputation. And then we're going to switch characters here in 3 John. Another individual is going to be mentioned, Diotrephes, which I'll probably pronounce a couple different ways, and it's not intentional, it's just when I look at it, sometimes it pops into my head different ways, but Diotrephes. We're going to see in verses 9 and 10, there's some issues with an individual, an individual that's associated with the church. And I think sometimes we forget about that we certainly are all human, and even members of the church can go south. And I think Diotrephes is one of those, and I titled the lesson Dominating Diotrephes, because when we start to look at Diotrephes' traits, he's really dominating, and he's really doing some things that are really harming the church, and we see that in just verses 9 and 10, and there's three things I want to focus on, and three things that we need to watch out for. As members of the church, as members of the Lord's body, it is possible that some of our brothers and sisters will go south, and we need to watch out for some of those traits. And I think Diotrephes actually has three traits that certainly we can watch out for in ourselves, but also those that are around us. So let's look at verses 9 and 10 again and see this individual that is mentioned. Remember, this is written to Gaius, and we see that he has a good reputation, he's standing for truth, is very hospitable, and then we get to Diotrephes, and he's going to have some of the opposite traits that was just described with Gaius, that was described earlier in the book of 3 John. Really short, only 13 verses, a short epistle letter. Verse 9 here says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. There's certainly a lot that we can take out of a few words, and I don't want to go too far into speculation, but I will mention some things as we think about this. But we have a writing that is supposed to get to the church, but it seems like Diotrephes is almost like a wall. And I think that's perhaps why we have this letter to Gaius, is because he knows Gaius is going to make sure that the word gets out to where it needs to be. But it's almost like Diotrephes has been a roadblock. He says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. And I think the idea is, he won't receive us, but he also won't receive the letters as well that are written. Why is that? I think Diotrephes is prideful, and actually a reason is given. It says, Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence. What is preeminence? I think certainly that idea has some things associated with it. I think it has the idea of superiority, thinking that you're better than others. And I think Diotrephes had that. Why do we need this letter? Why do we need this message? Why do we need to hear from John? I've got it all. I've got all the answers. I don't need that. And you know what? We don't need it here either. I think the Diotrephes had a very dominating personality. And it tells us right here, John's view. He says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, he loved to have preeminence. That tells us a lot right there. I think it gives the idea that he believed he was superior. He believed he was better. He believed that he could be the all-knowing and all-answers, and he did not need to receive anything else. You know what? This attitude can pop up within the church. And I think really when you break down the idea that he loved to have preeminence, I think we get the idea that he was very prideful. Do you struggle with pride? Certainly we think about pride as something that we should try to avoid. But pride is a trap. And it's an easy trap sometimes to fall into, and I think Diotrephes has fallen into this trap. He thinks he's better. He thinks he's superior, and because of that, he's putting up walls and boundaries between brothers and sisters. But this idea of, and I'm not 100% sure what Diotrephes was doing here. It says I wrote to the church, but it's Diotrephes, who loved to have preeminence among you, does not receive us. Now, does that mean them personally? I think it could definitely entail that. But also, I think it could entail not receiving the word. And you know what? A lot of people that have pride have trouble with God's word sometimes. A lot of people with a pride problem have a problem with God's word because they think they're right. And you know what? I don't necessarily want to hear from God or anyone else for that matter. Because I've got it all together, I'm superior. I think Diotrephes had that attitude. And that attitude can creep into the church, and certainly it can creep into the religious world, thinking that you have all the answers, you're superior, you're better. I think there's certainly some elements of that here. But whenever there's a false teacher, you know, false teachers destroy the Word of God. And I think Diotrephes did not want the words of God many times to come into the area. And because he didn't want that, I think he put up barriers either to the letters or the men themselves and say, they aren't welcome here because I know what they're going to bring. They're going to bring the words of God which contradict what I have. So really, false teachers many times, they're prideful and they try to shut down the Word of God. Marshall Keeble, you might be familiar, might not be familiar, an old gospel preacher for the Lord's Church. He was preaching at a tent. They used to have tents and things of that nature, and they were having a gospel meeting, and he was preaching a little bit about baptism, and he referenced Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and says, he who believes is baptized shall be saved, and he says, that should be in your Bible, open up and read it. And one of the ladies says, that's not in my Bible. And he said, well, really? He said, I'd love to have a study at your house. So he actually follows up with this lady. He goes to meet her at her house, and indeed, when she opened up the Bible, she had cut it out. She had cut it out. You know, you think about that. I think that's almost Diotrephes' attitude here, is that I'm not going to receive them. I'm not going to receive their words. I'm not going to receive their letters. I'm going to put up a wall. I don't want it in. In fact, I'll do whatever I have to. I'll cut it out if I have to. I'll cross it out if I have to. I remember at church camp one time, one of the young ladies that I went to church camp with, her father was not affiliated with the church, and we were reviewing Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, where it talks about some of our worship, and the dad has added in intent and instrument, because in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, I believe, it talks about, you know, singing, and dad obviously knew that instrument wasn't there, so he just wrote it in pen. I think Diotrephes had some of that attitude. Is that I'm superior, I'm better, I'm going to tell you what the truth is, and I want to keep these guys away. I'm not going to receive them. And I think that comes from an element of pride. And certainly it's dangerous when we get prideful with God's Word. We can't add to or take away from God's Word. You know, to go back to the Old Testament, certainly the principle applies to the New. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, you shall not add to the Word which I have commanded you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. We have to be very careful and mindful that we're not trying to add to or take away from God's Word. And I think Diotrephes was trying to be very intentional in trying to keep God's Word away. And I think it was because of pride. It tells us right there, he loved preeminence. He loved to be superior. He loved to be the one that had all the answers, I think. I think he loved that. We can't go beyond the words of God. In 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Abide in the doctrine of Christ. We can't go beyond, and certainly we can't cut the doctrine short. But I think we have a problem of pride. The idea of surpassing all others. The idea of superiority. The idea of loving being in the first place or the first spot. You know, this attitude can be found in the church. It does pop up from time to time. And Diotrephes definitely has. And it was leading to a lot of problems within the church. The problem of pride. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is very dangerous. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, it says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You know, I think of pride. And I think Diotrephes was kind of like, I know better. I think I am better. And because of that, I'm going to shut out as much as I can. And certainly that's dangerous. But it's hard when you have a pride problem and you go against the Word of God. Because you can have pride all you want, but it's not going to change things. You know, I think a great example of that was mentioned this morning in our Bible class. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we have Naaman. And Naaman shows up. In 2 Kings chapter 5, you certainly almost get this picture of Naaman, this great general. And I think that perhaps he had a little bit of pride going this way. When you look at 2 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 9, it says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wring his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. I think Naaman perhaps had a little bit of pride. I think Naaman rolls up in his chariot. He's a great general. He's got leprosy. This guy's going to heal me, and he's going to heal me my way, the way that I want, the way that I want it to be done. And you know what? The message didn't change. The message didn't change. Naaman could be stubborn. He could be prideful. But the message given to Naaman was that stayed the same. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And eventually he gave in to his pride, humbled himself, and he obeyed what was said. There's a lot of times people struggle with that in religion. It's interesting because in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, he says, I thought. If you read it down through there, he says, I thought. Well, you know what? We really need to think about what does God think? What does God want? What did God ask for? The pride can certainly get in the way. But you can argue with God's word if you want. But God's word is going to say the same thing 100 years from now. It's not going away. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The word of the Lord endures forever. You can get prideful, and you can go head to head with the word of God, but it's going to say the same thing 100 years from now. After we're long gone. You think about the Bible and it being written and recorded for us, it says the same thing. You can go head to head if you want, but you'll lose if you are not in line with the truth. You know, you think of Diotrephes, I think certainly one of his problems was associated with pride. What's the opposite of pride? I'd say humility. You know, humility can be found in the Bible. It's a trait that we should have as Christians. And in James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Wait, who does God give grace to? He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. When you think about pride and you think about humility, there is a parallel, and there are what we have really is opposites. If we have pride and we have humility, and God is pushing us towards humility. When we think about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he really gets that an example of humility. In James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, therefore lay aside all wickedness, all filthiness, and overflow wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. I think Diotrephes had a pride problem. And certainly that was dangerous. Where does his pride lead him? Let's look at verse 10. It says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. I think because of pride. It says, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. Not only is Diotrephes very prideful, but beyond prideful, we really have Diotrephes in this idea that Diotrephes is talking trash. To put it inside a layman's term, I think he's talking trash. I think he's being very vicious in his language towards John and other individuals that are preachers of the truth. He is very malicious with his words. It says the idea of prating. Prating is what my version has, but really that is to babble, and it is to accuse idly and falsely. He's making a whole bunch of false accusations. He's like, we don't want these people here. They believe this, or they believe this. Not only is Diotrephes prideful, but I believe he's lying and saying all kinds of horrible things about these other preachers and these other people because he wants to maintain control. You know, sometimes brothers and sisters in Christ can get prideful, and sometimes they can say malicious things. It can happen. I'm not saying it should happen. I'm not saying it's what God wants. Certainly God doesn't want us. God wants us to love one another, forgive one another, work together. That's what God wants. But sometimes we do have Diotrephes. Diotrephes is prideful. So prideful that they are willing to tear down others, perhaps with gossip, perhaps with lies, perhaps with false accusations. And that's what you have with Diotrephes. Diotrephes is a bad egg. And Diotrephes is affecting the church. You know, sometimes people on the outside say things about us, but sometimes people on the inside say things about us. And perhaps those hurt a little bit worse. You know, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. But you think about that, I think a lot of times when we read those verses, we're thinking about people on the outside. You know, it's the outside people that are trying to tear the Christian down. It's the outside people that are trying to tear the members of the church down. But right here, we've got Diotrephes, and it seems like he's associated with the church, and we've got somebody who's trying to tear other Christians down, and is using malicious words. And it says that he is prating. The idea of babbling, the idea of false accusations, and idle speaking, evil words. You know, many times people say bad things about God's people. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, when they revile your good conduct in Christ, may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You know, sometimes people are going to say bad things about us. You know, I could live a perfect life and people would still say bad things about me. You know that? Well, look at Jesus Christ. He was a perfect life. And I know I'm not living a perfect life. They said all kinds of bad things about Jesus. It just hurts, I think, a little bit more when it comes from the church. And I think Diotrephes is certainly a pride problem has led to a malicious attack. A malicious attack of brethren. And it can happen. It can happen. But there's some warning signs. Diotrephes wanted to be something special. He wanted to have preeminence. We can see the pride problem. And that pride problem leads down the road to malicious attacks, to this prating, to this babbling, to these false accusations, tearing down others. A very dangerous situation. And really, Diotrephes is refusing to be hospitable, I believe, to gospel preachers, and was forbidding others to receive them. And I think we can see that as we continue the verse. So therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. So Diotrephes not only has this pride problem led to all these vicious attacks of others, he's really dividing the church and says, you know what, when that gospel preacher comes to town, don't receive him in your house. I know you want to, but don't receive him in your house. It looks like Diotrephes has really taken over, dominating Diotrephes. He has, I think when you start to look at this, it looks like he's got a lot of control. I'm not saying it's right, but he's got a lot of control. I think his pride has led him to control where he's telling these Christians, hey, you can't do that. You can't talk to that person. Well, you say, Kyle, how do we draw the line? Well, we've got to get good at being a fruit inspector. As it says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, how are we going to figure out who false teachers are? You're going to know them by their fruit. When I look at Diotrephes, when you start seeing malicious words and idle attacks, and you start to see gossip, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign at all. And I think we have that. We have Diotrephes, who's got a pride problem. Not only do we see the pride problem, but we see the malicious words, and we start to see that this is really building into division, because Diotrephes is very dominating, and he is trying to control so many things that are going on, it looks like, at these places. A lot of times very prideful people are very controlling people. Micromanagers sometimes you might call it. But they try to control every little thing. And anything that's just a little bit off of what they think is right, I'm talking about matters of opinion. Certainly we've got to stand on the truth, but there's matters of opinion. There's people that will die on their opinion hill. They won't give it in. It's an opinion. It's a known opinion. Like Rick says sometimes in the Bible class, the carpet, you know. It's like, I'm going to die on the hill of the carpet. I've got to have my way. No one else's way is going to do. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to hear it. It's got to be my way or the highway. I think Diotrephes had that attitude. I've got this. I'm better than you. And it's tearing apart the church. He's causing division. There's no doubt about it. And I think that John is trying to get some of this information to Gaius so Gaius can do some damage control. And it seems like John wants to show up. It seems like to me, he says, therefore, if I come. I think this is hurting John a little bit because I think he knows the damage that's being done. And we can see the pride problem, we can see the vicious words, and we can also see the division. You know, being a traveling preacher, like I was for a good portion of my preaching, you know, I ran into a variety of situations. But I think I ran into a Diotrephes one time. I preached 2 weeks. Diotrephes preached the other 2 weeks. And Diotrephes, he had some things to say about that congregation. In fact, the young guy was the guy that they kind of asked to try to clean it up, which I don't think was necessarily the best, but they didn't have elders, and let's just say a lot of it kind of fell on my plate. But this Diotrephes, he started telling this congregation a whole lot of things that they should be doing. Some of those things not right. And on one occasion, he went so far to say, from the account that I heard, that he was talking to the congregation, says, God has taken your lampstand. And he said, actually, beyond that, I take your lampstand. And apparently, he walked out. That's kind of a prideful attitude. It's a very controlling attitude. Now, when we read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, it does talk about a lampstand, but it talks about God. You know, a congregation can go south. It's true. But if you read Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, remember therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. I believe that's talking about God. But this individual, he felt compelled to say, I'm taking your lampstand. And I think he walked out. Diotrephes can pop up in the Lord's church. Well, why would they pop up? Because of pride. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. And we see that the pride leads to malicious words. And not only does it lead to malicious words, but it leads to a controlling attitude. And we see that that's what Diotrephes is doing. These people want to bring gospel preachers in, and he says, no, you can't do that. And he's just splitting and dividing the church. He says, I'm going to throw you out if you bring in those good people that speak the truth. And you know what? Sometimes we run into these individuals. You know, if we're doing what God wants us to do, and we're doing things by the Bible, and we're doing things that are good or right, there's going to be false teachers that come by all the time and tell us that we're doing things that are wrong that are actually right. Well, Kyle, how are you going to sort all that out? Matthew chapter 7. We're going to have to know people by their fruits. We're going to have to see what they're saying and make sure it matches up with God's Word. That's the only test. This is our lie detector test right here, the inspired Word of God. And it needs to be put to every individual, whether it's Diotrephes or whether it's Gaius or whether it's me or any individual. They need to be tested with God's Word. But Diotrephes has caused a lot of problems. And these individuals do cause a lot of problems to the church. You know, I think back to Numbers chapter 16. In Numbers chapter 16, Moses has a rebellion on his hands. I don't think it was easy for Moses to go through this. But in Numbers chapter 16, you have the sons of Korah. They start complaining and they start discussing. And really what happens is you start to have this rebellion, or this coup come up basically against Moses. And it starts to build. You start to see in chapter 16 and the verses start to unfold. And Moses, I think, does struggle with this a little bit. And Moses kind of puts it to God, and God says, you know what? You need to separate from the rebels. You need to separate from them. You know what God does? He has the ground come up and swallow them up. I think you have some Diotrephes there. These people said, you know, we're going to do it better than Moses. We got it. We're going to do it. And they were complaining. They were murmuring. They had all these things, and they rose up against Moses, and God certainly took care of them. But it always hits me what they say after God and Moses kind of deal with the situation. They have just dealt with the Diotrephes. They've just dealt with these individuals that were prideful and said, we're going to take leadership. We know better. We've got all the answers. That's basically the attitude they had. And we see this rebellion building, and Moses and God kind of take care of it. But after it's taken care of, as we go back in Numbers chapter 16, we see what the individual says. I got to get over there. Numbers chapter 16, verse 41. This is after the rebellion has basically been taken care of. And it says, on the next day, chapter 16, and verse 41, it says, on the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Wait, the Diotrephes? The Diotrephes that said that the sons of Korah that said that they were better than everybody and that they were going to take over and they were the best, those are the people that you said are the people of God? You know, I do feel for our elders and our leadership, because sometimes bad eggs do pop up in the church and they have to be dealt with. And that's what Moses does with the help of God, is he deals with a bad egg. And once he deals with the bad egg, this whole rebellion that's coming up, you know what everybody says about the leadership? What did you do? The sons of Korah were great people. They weren't a problem. Why did you deal with them? Because they were bad eggs. They would have destroyed the whole children of Israel. How do you think about that? And certainly our elders, you know, sometimes they have to deal with bad eggs. And I wonder if sometimes we respond like the children of Israel. Why did the elders deal with them? Because they were a bad egg. Maybe on the outside they looked like they were good, and they were church-going people, and they were doing what they were supposed to, and they had this good outward appearance. But really, they were rebellious, they were prideful, they were gossiping, they were malicious, they were doing harmful things to the church, and the elders step in and deal with it, and then they take the flak. I'm thankful for good men that deal with Diotrephes. Because if they're not dealt with, they'll destroy the church. And many congregations have been destroyed because of the Diotrephes. Diotrephes was prideful. Diotrephes had malicious words. And Diotrephes was dividing the church. And sometimes those individuals pop up. The question is when those individuals pop up, will we be able to recognize them quick enough to save the church? Will we be able to solve the problem before it divides the church? Will we be able to? By their fruits, you will know them. And certainly, we've got to be careful. Because certainly, when I traveled, I think I ran into a lot of Diotrephes. Individuals that were trying to get a following for themselves. that were in it for other purposes other than just preaching the truth and trying to do those things that are good and right. I think they pop up. And I think they're actually more drawn to traveling preaching because they have more opportunities. They have more opportunities when they talk from town to town. And it looks like Diotrephes has got a little heart placed here where he has got a lot of control. You know, it's not always easy to talk about such situations, but such situations do come up. And such situations do have to be dealt with from time to time. We see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, and certainly we just need to keep an eye out for it. But what can I do? Can you be humble? That's the opposite of being prideful. Let's be humble. You know what's the opposite of malicious words? Let's have encouraging and kind words to one another. Instead of causing division, let's try to figure out how we can bring each other together with the truth, with God's word. Because certainly God's truth can unify. Are we watching out as best we can? It happens from time to time. You know, we come to the end of the lesson. It's not always easy to transition into an invitation, but Diotrephes did not want to receive the words of God because of pride. Sometimes when it comes to salvation, people don't want to receive God's words because of pride. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Some of Jesus' last words. And Jesus, after those last words to his apostles, disciples, we see they carry that out in the book of Acts. They carry that message out. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can this evening if you come, if we stand, if we sing.